Thank you for that. I'll just say a couple of things here in passing to the faculty, the staff, the pastors. Well done. You did a great job. And to all of you, the graduates, I think you need to give them another round of applause. The accomplishment that you have made will change your life because it's the knowledge that you have gained that can change someone else's life. And that knowledge will do you no good if you don't go and run with it. My message tonight is about the greatness that's within you. And I talked to my niece just a few minutes before we got here in the car, and I told her what we were doing, and I said, do you have any advice for me? She said, yeah, don't talk about yourself. She said, the last time that I graduated from high school and then college, she said, all the man did was talk about how long it took him to paint his house. And I shared with my wife, I said, you know, every graduation ceremony that I've gone to, people want to talk about themselves. Well, this night's not about me, it's about you. It's about your future. And it's also about your past. It's what you've accomplished up to this day. Because there's greatness within you. Now, whether you believe that or not, I want you to look in the mirror every morning like I do. I look in the mirror and I say, you good-looking thing, don't you ever die. Because you have to know who you are in Christ. And the greatness is not there because of what you've accomplished. The greatness is there because Christ lives big in you. And it's that what he's put in you that he's saying it's time to let it out. I was thinking about a way to be scholarly, and that's just not my academic-y, how did I get here? I have paper with my notes on it that we use front and back. There's nothing big about what we do up here, but there's something big about the God that lives within us. And that's the thing I want to stress to you today. So I pulled this little thing, and then I'll get on to my message. And if you have your Bibles, look in the book of Psalms. We're going to go out of Psalms 119. But I pulled this out because everybody's trying to figure out today the purpose in life and why we're here. And I'm just going to give this to you, and you can run with this. It says, on the first day God created the dog, and the dog said, he said, sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. For this I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, that's a long time to be barking. How about only 10 years and I'll give you back the other 10? So God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, entertain people, do tricks, and make them laugh. For this, I'll give you 20-year lifespan. The monkey said, doing tricks for 20 years, that's a pretty long time to perform. How about I give you back the 10 like the dog did? And God agreed. And on the third day, God created the cow and said, you must go out into the field with the farmer all day long, suffer under the hot sun, have calves, and give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I'll give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, that's kind of a tough life you want me to live for 60 years. How about 20 and I'll give you back the other 40? And God agreed again. And on the fourth day, God created man. And he said, eat, sleep, play, marry, enjoy your life, and for this I'll give you 20 years. But man said, only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20, the 40 the cow gave back, the 10 the monkey gave back, the 10 the dog gave back, and that makes 80 years, okay? And God said, you asked for it. So that's why for the first 20 years we eat, sleep, and play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40 years we slave in the sun to support our family. For the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at anybody who comes by. That's why you were created. There's greatness within you. And if you look in Psalms, the 119th Psalm, verse 47... it's for this I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. You must love the Word of God. And then when you love it, you will delight yourself in it. Because every time you read the Word of God, it'll be a revelation to change your life. But more than that, it'll be a revelation to change someone else's life. Because if you just have the love of God within you and you don't share it, then it's going to do you no good. Because as those that came up and got ordained, it's about the next generation. It's about reaching other people. That's why you came. You came to gain knowledge. But if you just gain knowledge and you do nothing with it, that's stupidity. So you gain knowledge. You have something. In the Bible, it goes on. It says in verse 48, my hands will also lift up in fervent supplication to your commandment, which I love. There again, the word love. And God is love. And I will meditate on your statutes. It means you will continue to study the word of God. And then it goes on in verse 52. It says, when I have earnestly recalled your ordinances from the old, O Lord, I have taken comfort. God is comfort. And it goes on in verse 55. It says, I have earnestly remembered your name, O Lord, even in the night, and I have observed your law. You must keep his commandments. Because to those of you who have graduated and those of you who were ordained, there's a great responsibility in your life now. You know, I was watching a professional golfer named Phil Mickelson recently. And his wife is going through treatment for cancer. But after a year of cancer treatment, she and he joined together at the Masters. And this young man with his three children in tow won the Masters that day. And it was a great victory. It wasn't a victory because he was able to beat everybody else in the field. But as he was questioned, he said, why is this such a special victory? He said, because my wife and children are here with me. To the parents of the graduates, to the husbands and wives, this is a great victory, not just for them, but for your family. And see, when Phil Mickelson won that, they give them what they call the green jacket. I don't know if you've ever seen that on television. And that green jacket represents the Masters champion. And there's only been a handful of them to wear the jacket. It's almost like the Shroud of Turin. It is coveted by thousands. But he wore that jacket and he did the interview. Then he went home that night to his wife and children. The next morning, they photographed him wearing the green jacket going through Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, this caused quite a stir in the golfing community because this is a special jacket like the robe you're wearing today. They said, what caused you to put on that jacket? He said, well, you don't know, but while my wife was going through cancer treatment this last year, every Saturday morning, I'd get the children and we'd go to Krispy Kreme donuts. He said, because I was in the tournament, I couldn't go. But on Monday, the tournament was over and the kids said, Dad, can we go to Krispy Kreme? He said, so I threw on the first thing that I could find to wear. You see, he didn't become the jacket. The jacket became him. Your ordination and your graduation, let me tell you, your ministry must be yours. Do not compare yourself to anyone else. The first step to failure is comparing yourself to someone else. God created you uniquely. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Young, old, able to walk, not able to walk, married, single. It's inside of you. How do I know that? Because God lives inside of you. And God is great. And I want you to do something for me. Never, ever, ever question God. The Bible said, God is not a man that he should lie. God has made you a promise. He's made you a promise. He's given you the opportunity for eternal life. But in that promise, now, with the responsibility that you have of graduates, is to take that which he's given you and to share it with somebody else. That's your challenge tonight. You know why? Greatness is within you. I was watching the U.S. Olympic team in 1980. Many of you might know it as the Miracle Hockey Team. And the story of the hockey team was this coach named Herb Brooks was asked to change what was going on in the U.S. hockey arena. They had lost for some 20 years. The Russian teams were great. They were professionals. They had all the players, all the professionals. And so Herb Brooks was brought in and said, we want to change what's been done in the past. And so he came to the Olympic trials and he found all the players and he put his roster together. At the end of it, when he posted the roster and the young men came up and read their names, the hierarchy, the religious leaders, and the hockey association came to him and said, listen, you've made a grave error. Not one of those young men that you've placed on this hockey team are any of them that we would have picked. They're not the best of their college teams. They're not the best. They're not the ones that are going to be drafted into the pro ranks. You just picked a bunch of kids And listen, we didn't bring you in here to lose again. We want you to go back and do it like we did in the past. He said, you're asking me to do what we did in the past, but you want a different result. The man turned to him and said, well, we'll just go ahead with the team that you've chosen. And when he was with the movie industry, they brought him in because they made a movie called The Miracle. And when he was sitting there, and they do their read-throughs, and they do their dailies, and they do things like this. But they do a time where they do a preparation. And the actor, Kurt Russell, who was portraying him, was able to sit with this coach and ask him questions. And he said, I want to ask you one particular question. And he said, how did you withstand those that came against you for the young men that you picked on this team? Or better yet, he said, how did you come to choose the players on your team? He said, listen, anybody can see greatness when you read a statistic. He said, but if I do my job and I do it to my ability, I go out and I find ordinary people and I'm supposed to see the greatness within them. And if I do my job right, I pull it out of them. You've been coming to the Bible school because there's greatness within you. And these people have been trying to pull it out of you. Now you've got it. Now do something with it. I was thinking about something else because I love movies. There's so much that you can learn in movies. And there was a young man named Eric Liddell, and he was in the 1924 Olympics. And if you've ever seen the movie called Chariots of Fire, it's a great movie. It's a great movie about faith, but it's a movie about character. And you see, that's the other thing. When Phil Mickelson was pictured by the woman at the Krispy Kreme, she took it on one of her little telephones, and it went out worldwide. Here's something I want you to get in your spirit, because when you obtain your diploma tonight, something's going to happen to you in your life. There's a greater responsibility. When you receive your ordination, something's happened in your life. There's a greater responsibility. Phil Mickelson said, today is a different day. We're living in a different era. For when I started out, the media came after you with a television camera. He said, today, everyone's watching you. Everyone will be watching you. I want you to know that. Everyone will be watching you. You see, it's not how much you gain in this earth. It's the character that you retain while you're gaining the things of the earth. You see, we're sitting in a beautiful building tonight. And I'm not saying to you, it's not important to build beautiful buildings. It is important to build something for the kingdom of God. But to have a beautiful building and not do anything with it. See, you're the result of a man and woman's vision many, many, many years ago. And I'm thinking of this man that ran the 100 meter. And he was a religious man. He was a spiritual man. And he began to win races. And if you've ever seen the movie, he would run and all of a sudden he'd get towards the end. He'd put his head back and you could just see the joy on his face. And he was good. The Bible says you run the race to win. That means you don't quit. You don't give up. Some of you have had obstacles. You said you wanted to quit. You didn't think you were going to make it after the first year. But you finished the race. And for that, God is well pleased. You see, when he would run and all of a sudden he was going to be the favorite in the Olympics, and his sister came to him and she said, listen, running is not of God. Running is not something that brings respect to God. See, his family, his parents were missionaries in China, but he had this gift. And he said to her, he said, I have been given a gift and I have to run with that gift. You've all been given a gift. Run with the gift, because greatness is within you. And here it comes down to this young man missed a prayer meeting, and his sister came up and said, you are sacrilegious. You are not respectful to the call of God on your life. And he said, I want you to understand something. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. When you go out and you minister, you will feel his pleasure. I remember the very first time I led someone to the Lord. And if you've not led someone to the Lord, you'll not understand this until the first time you do it. I was in a crusade in South Africa, and there was a man who came to disturb the service. And I was asked to go and get this man as part of my duties as a crusade director. And so I went and got this young man, and I took him to the side, and I said, "You are disrupting the service." And he didn't understand. So I took him backstage, and it was very hot, and I said to him, I said, "Listen, you cannot stay in the building because you're a disruption to everybody else." And he said, "I don't understand." I said, "You got to leave." He said, "But I came to get saved, but I've never been in a service before." Backstage, by the backstage door, I knelt down with this young man and I led him to the Lord. That was over 30 years ago. I'll never forget the first person I led to the Lord, because something that is within you comes out of you, and it's not you, it's the greatness of God that's within you. So I challenge you. You've been given a great gift. You've been given a great opportunity. Some people don't get to sit in facilities like this, but you've been given an opportunity. And the last thing that I'll leave you with is, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? What do you question? Who do you question? In the Bible, in the book of Judges, it says, there was a young man named Gideon. In the 6th chapter, verse 13, verse 12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you.' And he said to him, 'You mighty man,'" and the Bible says, and my Bible says, "'you fearless man of courage.' But Gideon said to him, 'Oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, why is all of this happening to us?'" He began to ask questions of the flesh. Why? Don't ever question God. The Bible says you prove God. Then it goes on and says, "And where are all his wondrous works?" Now I want you to know he's getting into the flesh again. Who, what, when, where, why? He goes on, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us." Never question God. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hands of Midians.' And Gideon said to him, 'O Lord, how can I do this?'" Remember, who, what, when, where, why, and how much. All questions of the flesh. He could not do this in the flesh, but by the Spirit of God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And it goes on and said, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, for God is always on your side.'" Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign." It's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. And then he said, "You who talks with me." But I want you to know the greatest scripture goes to verse 34. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him." When you go out, you don't go in your own might. You don't go out tall, short, black, white, young, old. When you walk in a room, they see God. It's a great responsibility because there's a generation that's watching you. The last thing that I'm going to leave you with, because I don't want to go long, but I want to encourage you, because I want you to know greatness is inside of you and it's just waiting to get out. And I'm trying to pull it out of you. And the one thing, if you leave here tonight, I want you to leave here with this: greatness is within me. Now it's time to let the sleeping giant out. Because how did I get here? Speaking before you? I don't have a college degree. I drove here in a car with my wife. That's how I got here. But for the grace of God, there goes I. Because I answered a call in my life. And when I was ordained, as I shared earlier, and I was asked by a great man of God, "Why do you want to leave the business world and do what you're doing?" And I said to him, "I'd rather fail at something I love then succeed at something I hate. Never compromise. Because if it's in you and you feel it, you got to let it out. Because you were created for such a time as this. My wife is sitting over here, and I don't want to draw attention to us, but you know her. She's a former Miss America. We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. What I want you to know tonight is my wife becoming Miss America. She came from a dirt road with a broken back and 150 stitches in her face from a horrific car accident, a crushed leg. But there was a dream put in her life. There was a man. He was the milkman. And in those days, I'm sorry, but you were the last Miss America photographed in black and white. In those days, I'll pay for that later. If you wonder why she has nice clothes, I'm always paying for things I say. But a milkman came up to her, and he saw something in her. And he said, "One day, little girl, you're going to be Miss America. You never know who's going to speak into your life. You never know whose life you're going to speak into. You never know if the person you lead to the Lord will be the next Billy Graham or the Amy Simple McPherson. You don't know who it is. And I'm telling you this because you must take time for every person that you come across their path, because it could be just a crippled girl on a dirt road in Choctaw County, Mississippi, that was going to walk the runway. And 30-odd years later, when they did a TV special, and they talked about all the Miss Americas, my sons and I sat in front of the TV, and we were watching this for an hour, and it got down to like 55, 58 minutes, or maybe 2 minutes left. They finally talked about my wife. And they said, "Can you tell me about one Miss America that stood out in your life that was controversial?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, there was one. There was this girl from Choctaw County, Mississippi, who from the day she walked that runway talked about how God raised her up and put her on that runway, took her off of the roadway because he was going to do it his way. There was a milkman that saw greatness within her." Now my wife, after she became Miss America, they put the crown on her head. She could have walked that runway and said, "Well, I did this. I have the figure and I have the talent." No, she said, "If it wasn't for my God, I'd be back in Choctaw County, Mississippi, watching a black and white TV set, sitting in my wheelchair. But the God that lives big in me, I'm going to tell the world about him." And this is what I can tell you most about my wife. For so many people that do television shows, and they go out and they win Academy Awards or singing or become famous personalities that you and I would call stars, or the world would call stars, my wife's going to be known for something different. My wife will be known for the things that she has turned down from the world to continue on preaching his word. So you have to be careful when the world comes at you. Are they going to pull God out of you and put the world back in you? Temptation will come. But remember who put you here in the first place. He's a great God. And from the day that you were created, he's numbered the hairs on your head. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You're not a by chance. You were divinely planned of God. And he set you on this course to be here today. And let me tell you, it's no little thing that you're here. Let me tell you about the God that put you here. He's the one that flung the stars from his fingertips. He scooped out the ocean beds with his hands. He shaped and formed the mountains. And that God loves you so much that he'd take you from where you were to where he wants you to be. And he's placed you on a path to where he wants you to go, because he's placed the greatness within you. Last thing I'm going to leave you with here. My wife said, "You got to stay on course. You got to stay on time." So I'm just about out of time. And normally we preach together, so I can see her over there nodding at me. It's time to shut up. But the thing I'll leave you with is this. It's in you. But what are you going to do with it? If God gave us 70 years on this earth, we would spend 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years in amusement, 6 years eating, 5 years driving our automobiles, 4 years resting, 3 years in education, 3 years reading, 3 years sitting at the TV set. And if you come to church every Sunday and prayed 5 minutes every morning, we'd give God 5 months of our life. What are you going to do with the time God has given you? When our daughter went to heaven at the age of 6, people came up and said, did she fulfill her purpose in life? Because the Bible says that with long life, they'll satisfy the parents. And I'm so thankful for my pastor. You see, you have great pastors here. And pastors will speak into your life. Some of you will become pastors. Some of you will become ordained ministers. It's a great responsibility. See, tonight, I feel this is a great responsibility on my part. Why? Because I want to light a fire in you, because they have placed the fire in you. And you got to take what's in you to a hurting, dying world. Pastor said, you know what, Harry? It's not how long you're on this earth. It's what you do in the amount of time God gives you here. What are you going to do with the rest of the time God's given you on this earth? I'll take the phrase that your pastor says every time I hang up the phone with him. He'll tell me, where are you at? I tell him, well, I'm out in Georgia. Where are you at? We're in Florida. Where are you at? I'm in Michigan. And the end of the conversation is just go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Well, I ask you something, though. If God's put it in you, many of us know it's time to take what we have and change the world.